Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, or as they say in Southwest slang, howdy, partner. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, March 23rd. Ray Allen is on the other side of the glass, thank goodness, engineering and producing the show, Buckmaster, now in our seventh year here on the radio on AM 1030 KVOI with our worldwide live streaming, which means you can listen to the program anywhere you're around a computer at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And we've got all of our podcasts and pretty much 6 years worth of programs at buckmastershow.com. You can listen to those programs anytime on your schedule. Just go to the website. 790-2040 is our live line number. If there's any time during the hour you'd like to join us, please feel free to do. So let's go now on, speaking of the live line, up to the state capitol, up to Phoenix, and with us on the live line, Marisol Garcia. Marisol is the Arizona Education Association Vice President, the AEA, the largest teacher organization in Arizona. Ms. Garcia, how are you today?
I'm great. Thank you for having me on.
You know, in the governor's speech, State of the State, which seems like ancient history, but, you know, it's about over 2.5 months ago, the governor declared in that State of the State speech that education would be a priority. Has it turned out that way so far at the legislature?
Well, we're still waiting to see what the budget's going to look like coming from the legislature, but we have yet to hear any movement on his promised 0.4% raise, which unfortunately to a lot of teachers didn't feel very respectful. So we're waiting and seeing, and we're going to keep hoping that the governor and the legislature does what most parents, teachers, and students want, and that is to invest in education in the state.
And, yeah, you're probably very kind. A lot of say that point 0.4% is woefully inadequate, and it turns out that it would actually only be a couple of dollars a day for teachers.
Right, and I, as a tenured teacher, start thinking about being 10 years in the profession, that I've actually seen my raise move minimally, maybe even $2,000 over the last 10 years. So to hear somebody say that I deserve a dollar a day extra for next year is not something that's going to conduce me to stay in the classroom and support my students.
And we have such an issue right now with keeping teachers in the classroom and recruiting new ones to Arizona. When teachers look at coming to different states, they probably look at Arizona and think, wow, that's a state that is not education friendly. Would you agree with that?
I would agree. I think that we're pretty good at hitting 48th and 49th at every single one of these surveys and reports. A recent report said that we are at the bottom of the list for recruitment. So as a student who's graduating with their degree in teaching, it's the last place that they feel would be a place for them to come and start a career and have a family and become invested in.
So we're waiting now, I guess, for the details of the budget. But what about other legislation that is moving through the Capitol that would impact or potentially impact people in teachers in your association and all teachers in the state?
Well, one thing that's a little bit concerning is every year we try to fix the empty classroom issue by lowering standards for those people entering the profession. And, you know, I think that in the past we've heard people say, well, the Supreme Court justice couldn't come in. She would have to go through all kinds of hoops. And the reality is that teaching is a profession in the same manner that being a police officer or working for a bank is. You need specific skill sets to be able to stand in front of a class of 30 children and ensure that they're getting quality instruction. And a couple pieces of legislation are moving through the Capitol that have to do with lowering that expectation, allowing folks in that have very little to no experience, just have a background in a specific subject and or have just a BA. And I know as a parent of a fifth grader, that's not the type of teacher I want in front of him. I want somebody who understands instruction, curriculum, understands how brain development, how to deal with class sizes as large as we have. So that's concerning for people in the profession, that it will de-emphasize the need to have quality instructors in front of students. But also, as somebody going through college or deciding to enter the profession, why would I go to school to become an educator when I can just get a degree in something else and be allowed in front of these students?
The superintendent of public instruction, Diane Douglas, was with us about a week ago, and she was concerned about IT. Where does that stand right now, money for upgrading the information technology in our classrooms?
I think we are completely aligned with the superintendent that this is concerning. Her concern is that the technology that the Department of Education uses to fund schools, to pay out schools, is antiquated and needs to be updated. And if it doesn't do so very quickly, we're going to see a delay in pay for our teachers, which, again, is another form of disrespect. And it's going to hit our recruitment and retention issues and compound the issues we're already facing.
How about school vouchers? That's been talked about really since day one of this session, making vouchers universally available to pay for all children to attend private and parochial schools. That would increase the cost to the state and not result in savings, according to the Legislative Budget Committee. So where are we on vouchers?
Right now, the bills, which there were four of them, two in each of the chambers, have been put on hold. They're waiting to get the votes, and we're hopeful that taxpayers are taking the time to reach out to their elected officials to make it clear that this is not a sustainable future for our state. But secondly, it's going to end up with two different sets of schools, and though people like to use the word choice, our families already have a choice to go to their public school, their public community school. So taxpayers should be up in arms at the fact that their money is going to be used to offshoot and privatize education in a way that is not going to benefit the state as a whole.
You got into the teaching profession as an educator. Why did you take the plunge?
Well, I'll be honest with you. Both my parents are educators, and when I told them, I got one reaction of crying and one reaction of jeer. You know, my father was very excited, but my mother, who had been a teacher for 30 years at the time, was sad because she knew that I wouldn't be able to have the future that she wanted for me as far as a home for my children and the things, travel, etc. But she also knew that I was entering the profession in a time where we were over-testing our students, that we were so focused in on data that we had lost the love and creativity and imagination that comes from the classroom. But I went into it because I knew that as somebody who believes that education is the only way to turn around people's lives, that this was a place for me. And I think we've leaned on that core belief that educators have, and taken advantage of their generosity and their professionalism by underfunding a system that they are committed to.
What area do you teach in?
I teach middle school social studies, which is prime stomping ground for me to be able to convince our students that education is going to change their lives. You know, committing themselves to a great high school career and finding out what career they want to get involved in, what college they want to go to. They're still at a great age to want good grades and want approval from adults, but they're also middle school kids, so sometimes it's a challenge.
Marisol Garcia, thank you very much for spending
You're welcome.
A few minutes with us, getting an update from the Arizona Education Association, where she is the vice president and very active in the legislature and what's going on there pertaining to education. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. They're getting ready for the Memorial Day weekend, and over there they have a big event. It is the 22nd annual Silver City Blues Festival. It's a free event. They've got some great lineup of really world-class entertainers, including Beale Street's Best, the Ghost Town Blues Band. That is going to be a terrific group that will be performing. So it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of Memorial Day weekend, just a three-hour drive over to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Go to the website, southwestnewmexico.org, for more information, the full listing of things to do, and the many places to stay. We'll go next to the Reed Park Zoo. via in studio the administrator, director Jason Jacobs, with me in studio right after this. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, we'll talk with Sahorita Mayor Tom Murphy. The Friday Roundtable features Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com and Dan Shearer of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. Matt Russell hosts Weekend Watch on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Thursday edition, as we push toward 12:19 on nice change of pace type weather for us after that record-breaking heat that we had. I I think it's pretty safe to say that March will go into the record books as the hottest temperatures ever recorded here in Tucson. Let's welcome Jason Jacobs. I always love having Jason on the program. I love animals, so does Jason. Jason loves animals enough that he's devoted his life to them. He is the director of the Reed Park Zoo. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's always great to come into your studio and tell you about what's new at the zoo.
When you were a kid, did your parents take you to the zoo at a very young age?
They did, but by the time I became a teenager, they would just drop me off in the morning and pick me up in the afternoon because they thought, wow, this is definitely an obsession. So yeah, I mean, it's a labor of love for all of us at the zoo. I mean, so many of us who work there, from people who work as the keepers to grounds maintenance, who work in the development, marketing, special events, the board of trustees, other city employees who don't work at the zoo but are city employees like our finance, HR people, they all love our mission. They all love our animals. They want to know what's new, what's going on. And so that's why I have the best job in the world.
I'm just curious, what was your first zoo that you
the
visited?
The first zoo I visited was the Crandon Park Zoo in Miami, Florida. It's no longer there. Hmm. It closed down and a new zoo reopened in Miami when I was in kindergarten called, at the time, Miami Metro Zoo, and that's now called Zoo Miami.
Hmm. Well, there are some exciting zoo things happening at the Reed Park Zoo, including maybe a new exhibit coming along.
Well, yeah, that's right. You know,
this hasn't been talked about much, so no, we're kind of getting a little bit, as we say in the business, a little exclusive.
Well, yeah. We've been planning to add an alligator habitat to the zoo, and we had last week a very generous anonymous supporter step forward to fund the exhibit in its entirety.
Wow.
So we are going to bring alligators back. We haven't had alligators at the zoo in over 25 years. It's going to be a couple months to get the exhibit online and get the animals in and get them adjusted, but we'll keep you updated for sure. But, you know, we just had a new exhibit open a few weeks ago. Did you know the mob has taken up residence in Tucson? The mob, there's an organized mob here in Tucson now.
Does that have something to do with those little cats?
Yes, the meerkats. They, you know, a social group of meerkats.
They're
is
really
called a mob.
Social little guys and girls, aren't they?
They are.
Do they have like a godfather that kind of controls the group?
They do actually. Yeah. They're
a first or second lieutenant. Keep you in line.
There is the godfather would be the breeding pair, and they're the only ones that breed, and then the rest of the mob takes care of their offspring and takes care of them. Now we have three males.
Okay.
One day we will expand our mob and have a breeding pair and a larger mob. But right now we started off with three. But, you know, I never thought about it. There is a godfather.
Yeah.
The godfather of meerkats.
The meerkats. And that exhibit is pretty much just new and up and running, relatively new.
You're correct. It opened about the third week of February.
Meerkats, for folks that don't know, are...
They're a type of mongoose from southern Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And our exhibit is really great because you can go right up to these windows and they will come up and look at you and interact with you. People take selfies of themselves with the meerkats and post them online. And they're perfect for our climate because they're from the Kalahari Desert, which can get very cold nights and very, very warm days. So they are tailor-made for Tucson, and this is a case where it's great that a mob has taken residence
there
in a community.
And the last time you were with us, you were mentioning these little girls and guys, and I mistakenly thought I had seen them in the wild along the Chobe River in Botswana, but I think it was a different kind of mongoose.
That's right. You saw banded mongoose.
Banded mongoose. Yeah.
And that's another great candidate for an animal for us to add one day. But you know, it just takes resources. But we've been very successful the past couple of years between the partnership between the city of Tucson, which owns and operates the zoo, and their support. The Reed Park Zoological Society, our great nonprofit support organization. And I'd add in there the University of Arizona. You know, we're all working together to create the best experience we can for our guests at Reed Park Zoo.
Wine Gone Wild. That's right. Wine Gone Wild 2017 is coming up Friday evening, 6 o'clock to 8:30. And this will benefit your rhinos.
Right. There's going to be a special fundraiser ahead of time where you can sign up for a VIP experience with the rhinos, and it benefits the zoo and its mission. And that event is being organized by our nonprofit support organization, the Reed Park Zoological Society, Nancy Kluge, who's the president, and the events team, Gail Brown and Jed Dodds, who do an amazing job creating and putting these events together. These people, their sole mission is to support the zoo, and sometimes we do that in a lot of fun and unique ways by having an event surrounding wine.
What was this horrible news out of the Paris Zoo concerning a rhino? Of course, we all know that rhino horns are valued on the black market, but to actually go to a zoo and attack a rhino for its horn? I'd not heard of that before.
It's horrible. And that zoo is about 45 minutes outside of Paris. It's one of the top 100 zoos in Europe. It's very unfortunate because it was a white rhinoceros. It was a male. And I think I bring it home. And we have a male white rhinoceros at our zoo named Fireball, who is one of our favorite animals. It's hard to say when you have 400 children, and I don't want to say, I don't want to anthropomorphize.
Right. It's one of your favorites.
But Fireball is beloved by our community, and it's sad and sickening that someone would kill a rhinoceros for its horn. Mm-hmm. In some cultures, it's believed to be an aphrodisiac or to increase sexual intimacy, let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. And rhino horn is made up of keratin. It's made of hair and fingernails, the same things our hair and fingernails are made of. And there's only about 20,000 white rhinos left in the world. Over 1,000 of those were poached last year in South Africa alone. Mm. And that's why it's important to have zoos. You're going to see zoos more and more becoming stationary arcs. And there are many animals, for instance, the American bison, the black-footed ferret, the California condor, all of those animals would be extinct if it were not for the collaborative efforts of zoos in the United States.
How about black rhinos? How endangered are they?
They are more endangered. They are much more rare than the white rhino. There's only a couple thousand black rhinos left. All the world's population of rhinoceros, if you added all five species, there'd be maybe 25,000 to 30,000 animals total. And to give you an idea, last week at Reed Park Zoo, we had about 17,000 visitors.
Good.
So
good news.
It shows you the impact zoos can have, but at the same time, there are some big challenges in the wild, and that's why we have zoos. We want to educate. We want to inspire many of our visitors. The only opportunity they'll have to see a rhinoceros is at an AZA-accredited zoo.
Well, it seems like a million years ago we were at a place called the Ark in East Africa. It's kind of built like an ark, right?
Yes, yeah, up on stilts at nighttime.
I don't even know if it's still around, but this was back in the early 80s, and you get a wake-up call if there's some kind of animal that folks would want to see. So they woke us up at 3 in the morning. There was a sighting of a bongo.
A beautiful species of forest antelope.
Oh, beautiful.
A rusty red color. And if you ever touch one, I've touched one in a zoo before, the pigmentation comes off on your skin. They're beautiful animals with stripes and lovely.
That was like a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And there were also a couple of black rhinos we saw on that trip. I don't even know if they've even got any black rhinos left in the Mount Kenya area. Probably very rare.
If they are there, they're probably guarded 24 hours a day.
So I was just curious about the alligators. When you do a new exhibit like that, what do you do? Put out on the among the zoo people, your colleagues around the world, we need we need alligators.
Yes, we're calling on many different contacts around the nation.
Then you ship them
talking
FedEx.
Talking to zoos. And also in Florida, for instance, there's one alligator for every 16 people.
Really?
There's 1.5 million alligators in the state. And unfortunately, sometimes those alligators are removed because they're classified as nuisance alligators. Mm-hmm. And there might be a chance that we would be able to provide a nuisance alligator with a permanent home, because the alternative for a nuisance alligator is being made into leather. And that's certainly, a part of alligator ranching in Florida. At one time, they were thought to be an endangered species, and through protection and the farming and all that.
Sustainability and.
So they have a story to tell, and alligators, I'm originally born and raised in Florida. I think they're great animals. And I think our guest will really enjoy seeing alligators back in Tucson.
And
you got one on your shirt today.
I do. I've got a little alligator. What about frogs?
We are going to look into building our first ever amphibian exhibit inside the Conservation Learning Center. And the key of this is that little things can have big impacts. Frogs are key indicator species in ecosystems around the world.
Canary in the coal mine.
Well, they use water for reproduction. Mm-hmm. And if water is too warm or if water is polluted, your frog populations are not going to do well. So they are a key indicator species. We're going to build an exhibit for poison dart frogs. And these exhibits are 2-foot by 2-foot squares. Living ecosystems, though. There's isopods and springtails in those exhibits that will break down whatever nutrients are in there to provide nourishment. And the exhibit is being actually named after one of our docents who passed away in December. Her name is Fran Armstrong, and she was a docent for 39 years at Reed Park Zoo. And her husband, Ray, is still a docent. And he and the other docents are dedicating this exhibit to her.
Oh,
they're funding
wonderful.
It, and she was a jewel of a woman.
Great.
And she was not large in stature, but just like the frogs, big impact.
Big impact.
Big impact. And our docents are very dedicated people who love the zoo and love interacting with our guests.
Jason Jacobs, director of the Reed Park Zoo, always a pleasure. We'll talk and check with you in a matter of weeks because I love having you on the program. And website again?
ReedParkZoo.org.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
Be right back.
Flood or fire damage to your home?
Floods and fires can attract termites to the home and destroy pest prevention measures. 5-Star Termite and Pest Control has a comprehensive treatment plan to protect your refurbished home. 5-Star treats the building materials of the home not once, but twice. You can have 5-Star's most thorough treatment protecting your home, and your homeowner's insurance covers it.
So before your restoration begins, call 5-Star Termite and Pest Control, 886-0045.
We're 5-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
At the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, we've been caring for homeless pets for over 72 years. But as we've grown, our campus hasn't, and our pets and staff are crowded in run-down, dilapidated buildings. The need for a new campus is critical. The homeless pets in our care need healthier, stress-free space, and we need room to expand the important work of adoption and education. Please help us build our own forever home. Visit hssaz.org and donate today, because we're all in this together.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean. Pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
Welcome back. Time for our CEO interview series on The Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor Incorporated, a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing business centers in North America. This CEO-driven regional alliance has helped to drive significant business investment into Tucson and Southern Arizona through primary job creation, resulting in 130 company relocations and expansions and an economic impact of $18.7 billion. For more information about Southern Arizona's economic engine, go to suncorridorinc.com. With us on the live line, Joe Snell. Mr. Snell, the CEO and president of Sun Corridor Incorporated. Joe, how are you?
Good. Bill, how are you?
Doing well. You've hit a couple home runs here lately. That Site Selectors Guild coming to town was really big news. And then this news about Hexagon Mining, that is really an important story. They've selected downtown for a relocation. So that's big story.
Well, yeah, it's been a we've been fortunate to have about 18, 24 months of just solid good news, and but we paid our price though, didn't we? During the recession, when this good news was hard to find. But I think, as I said yesterday to another reporter, you know, we planted some seeds in the depth of the recession. We're now starting to see some fruit being borne from that.
And that's good news. Joe, that Hexagon Mining group is a worldwide company, right? They've got nearly 800 employees, and they're going to be adding some jobs here in town, correct?
They are. They're going to be adding just over 150 jobs here to, I believe, bring their workforce out to 250. But it's as important as the jobs are, and sometimes it's an overused metric, and that's real important, is we get to keep a headquarter company here in Tucson, Arizona, an international headquarter company, and a company that, you know, this was a pretty good dogfight to keep them, and I'm just so thrilled that we are able to keep a headquarter company here, and more importantly, you know, it really is validating our position, Bill, as a mining leader, a mining cluster leader. You know, with mm-hmm. we have the mines in the area. We have Caterpillar supporting the mining industry with their relocation, their mining division, and you know, groups like Hexagon just further, you know, fill out that whole cluster picture.
A couple of weeks ago, we had the pleasure of speaking with the gentleman who kind of heads up this Site Selectors Guild, and this is a really important thing in your business and economic development. What is the Guild, and why did they come to Tucson for their conference last week?
Yeah, the Guild is in simplest terms, this is the international convention for site selectors, and there's about 450 or 500 of them that come to town to talk about their business trends in site selection and incentives and all kinds of stuff surrounding the profession. And this was a big win for us. As I said to somebody not too long ago, I said it's like winning the Olympics in economic development without having to build stadiums. So it's a big deal. You know, these folks represent about, you know, 80-90% of all decisions in companies either relocating expansion or expansions. Companies don't really do this on their own. They hire one of these quote-unquote site selectors to help them you know, find locations. So this is a big influencing group that we try to get on the radar screen all the time. So a big win for Tucson. I don't believe they've ever held their conference in Arizona, and very rarely in a city the size of Tucson. So we had to go out and compete tooth and nail on this, and I can tell you I'm thrilled with the Sun Quarter Inc. Board of Directors, because we were a host of this. You know, we spent a lot of money doing this, but it was a smart play, because we're not having to chase them all around the country. You got to bring them in town.
And so they were out at were out of the JW Marriott, right?
Yeah, yep, out at the Star Pass.
And how did
we had Chamber of Commerce weather that?
Yeah, that was that. We were having those great, very warm days. What feedback are you getting?
Well, we get real good feedback, and I talked to a good friend very high up in the guild, and you know, and I don't think he would tell me something that's not true. And I said, "What did you think?" And I've done this. I've been working with this group for 30 years. He said, "This is one of the best experiences we had." And partly, I give credit to my team and to the entire community that engaged with this, because you know, we didn't just host them here. We wanted to really immerse them into the Southern Arizona experience, because it's an opportunity to showcase. Maybe sometimes they read about Caterpillar or Raytheon's expansion, but they don't know that much about us as a business center. Some don't even know much about us as a tourist center. So it gave us a chance not to just hold the conference, but to get our people out and about and selling with these. So, you know, we had the day before the conference started, we had people golfing, hiking and cycling with all these members, and doing a lot of one-on-one, and so we had a lot of sales agents in this community getting a chance to really bend their ear, and I think that went well. And then we had an opportunity to host a couple dinners with the site selectors and their spouses, and they were executed to perfection, in my opinion.
And we certainly have a lot of great opportunities when it comes to dining to show off our area.
Sure, that's right.
Yeah.
And we had a couple great venues for that. And, you know, they got to see why we have a high ranking for food here.
Yeah. So when these people, someone would come to them and say, look, we're thinking about a relocation. And then certainly these people have had a good experience here in Tucson. It, in effect, really puts us on the radar screen in a brighter fashion, to say the least.
It sure does. It, like I said before, it gives us a chance to showcase the location. And there was a lot of formal selling done on our behalf, one-on-one time with them. To everything's done on relationships. So we might put a business executive in front of them to validate everything I say as an economic developer is true. Yes, he's just not selling you. This is a good place to do business, et cetera, et cetera. We had plenty of marketing messages. You know, we were running videos in their hotel rooms, everything short of subliminal messages to show them that Tucson is a region on the move, Bill. You know, it's not just a strong place to come visit in the winter. There's a reason that Caterpillar and Raytheon and Home Goods and Comcast, and I can go down the list, have all chosen to put hundreds of millions of dollars in here in the last 18 months. And I think that's what they needed to see. And I think they did see it pretty clearly.
So what's next for the kind of in the post-conference mode?
Well, you know, we're going to take this. I can tell you we had several several leads out of this, where I personally played golf with a aerospace executive and a site selector, the three of us, and he said, you know, I've actually got two projects I'd like to talk to you about. So sometimes it's, you know, the last person they talk to. So we've got three or four leads that we generated out of this. We'll follow up on that. But we also, we're going to follow up with every one of these attendees and make sure they don't forget us very soon, too quickly, because like you say, every company, companies might relocate once in a lifetime, maybe, but these guys are representing 10 or 12 clients that are doing it all at the same time. So it's very cost effective. The second thing we're going to do is we're going to get on the road and we're going to follow up with these folks. I'm leading a delegation of about 20 CEOs to Washington, D.C. for a day. We'll take the train up and go to New York, and we're going to do some calling on site selectors in New York City. So there you go. You know, time to... we got to get aggressive. Things have been good for us, but we cannot sit back on our heels, and we got to go, get it done.
What are you hearing about the Caterpillar relocation and getting families settled here, getting homes, the whole deal?
Here it's working really well. You know, they're in their temporary facility downtown. They're working very quickly on the plans for their new facility. And, you know, we put together that soft landing program to help them get their folks in town. And I can tell you, talking to some top real estate people, they're buying homes all over the city and not in just one area, and it's going smooth. Caterpillar has joined Sun Corridor Inc.'s highest levels with our chairman's circle, so we talk to them, you know, weekly, and if there's a problem, we're going to solve it. But so far, so good. And that's, you know, that's what we need, is we need to, you know, work with a group like Caterpillar and then turn them into sales agents for us.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Joe Snell, I think the news is very positive. Thank you very much, sir, for your support.
Thanks, Bill. Talk to you soon.
Thank you very much. For more information, go to suncorridorinc.com to find out more about what Sun Corridor is doing. 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition. Be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, capturing the spirit of New Orleans cuisine. Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you at Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails. Open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with the businesses they trust. At BBB, we also want to honor their efforts for doing business the right way. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that our annual Torch Awards are happening on Friday, April 7th at 5:30 p.m. at Casino del Sol. It will be a fun, elegant evening of celebration, and we hope you will join us. Register today at tucson.bbb.org. Thanks for doing business the right way, Southern Arizona.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. By the way, our Friday Focus interview tomorrow will be with Sahuaritas Mayor Bob Murphy. Will be the guest here on the Buckmaster Show. This portion of our program presented by Green Things. Jan and Jack, the owners, took the original 4 acres, they've now developed it into 13, done a beautiful job there along the Rito River. It's 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. GreenThingsAZ.com is the website, and they're doing these very popular free workshops on gardening. There'll be another one tomorrow afternoon at 1, and that will be about controlling kind of the garden pests in an environmentally sensitive manner. So that will be the topic, I believe, tomorrow afternoon over at Green Things. Well, the Pima County Regional Wastewater Reclamation Department recently won the new Arizona Prize Water Innovation Challenge. The proposal that the department presented involved turning reclaimed water into craft beer. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Jeff Previtt, the program project manager for the Pima County Regional Wastewater Reclamation Department. Jeff, how are you?
Hello, Bill. I'm very well.
Tell me about how this whole thing came about, this project.
So last year it began, the Water Innovation Challenge Award was won here by the University of Arizona in Tucson, and it resulted in a video that maybe some of your listeners have seen on PBS called Beyond the Mirage.
Mm-hmm.
And that video kind of set the stage that the Colorado River is the mirage. Mm-hmm. And what are the basin states that are dependent upon it going to do when Lake Mead drops below the 1075 acre feet and Arizona is required to ration water?
Mm-hmm.
And so this year's Water Innovation Challenge wanted a solution, and it had to be a public-private partnership. And so I assembled a team of water professionals throughout the state, and our proposal was to introduce potable reuse to Arizonans.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, there's a prohibition on it in Arizona, and so our project was really to address it and bring it to people's consciousness and get people start to talking about it.
And how did the beer item, I guess that's a good way to show, hey, if you can drink beer that's been from reclaimed water, it can't be all that bad.
Absolutely. And so essentially our treatment process is built on the back of a semi.
Uh-huh.
And our goal was to take it from town to town and make ultra high purity water to demonstrate to people it's perfectly safe and it's just as good as bottled water. But it's not fun or exciting, and so we knew we wouldn't get right. A lot of fanfare. And so the craft brewing industry is just mm-hmm. skyrocketing nationwide. I think we have 24 of them in Tucson now. And so we reached out to the Craft Brewers Guild and said, can you guys help us spread the word? And they were very anxious to get on board. It kind of takes it to a whole another level and a curiosity that's got people talking about our project.
So how did you got with them, the craft brewers, and then you have a product, and how's the product?
It tastes just like the beer you would drink at any of these craft brewers. It's a clean slate for these brewers. They actually mm-hmm. have to add salt to it and bring it back up to a mineral content to make it suitable for brewing.
Are there some plans to introduce this as, an item that you could purchase?
I don't think we have those plans yet, but it certainly has gotten a lot of attention. And California did something similar this past weekend at San Diego has a potable reuse treatment facility that's going to go online in 2018. And so their mayor was with Stone Brewing last week giving samples of water. California had to do it out of necessity because of the drought. Here in Arizona, we've had a long history of good water planning and management. And so we're doing it more as an educational approach to get our citizens comfortable with the concept and get them talking about water, water quality, and where their water comes from.
What was kind of the time frame of putting this whole thing together? How long did it take?
The devil was in the details.
Yeah.
So we started talking about it in August. We made the short list to the five finalists in November. We won the $250,000 prize, and we had a self-imposed deadline because here in Arizona, our big water conferences are in May, mm-hmm. AZ Water Conference in Phoenix. And so we had a really tight window of 6 months to get our truck constructed because we wanted to be able to debut it at mm-hmm. our big water conference in mm-hmm. Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a self-imposed deadline of 6 months.
So the truck is ready to go?
It's still being worked on. Not ready quite yet.
Yeah. And then when it is up and running, you'll take it really all around the state to show what
Absolutely.
You can do with reclaimed water.
That's correct.
How much reclaimed water do we have in this town?
Here in our town, our wastewater treatment facilities, we produced about 63, 64 million gallons of effluent each day.
Mm-hmm. And so, where does that then, how much of it is reclaimed and where does it go?
So a good portion of it right now is reclaimed, and mm-hmm. that's delivered to the city of Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
Tucson Water has a reclamation system that traverses throughout the city, 18 golf courses, I think 60 schools, and about 50 parks are irrigated with that water, all the way from Oro Valley, Dove Mountain, all the way down south and east.
But there is this, as you mentioned earlier, there's this law against drinking reclaimed water. And that's been on the books, I guess, then forever or what?
I think that
yeah.
came into play in the 80s and
okay.
when they first developed reuse rules, but the technology really wasn't suitable at that time.
Uh-huh. And how is the technology now?
We have it. We have the yeah. technology, and we've had it for a while, but there hasn't been a necessity until these recent droughts.
Hmm. So how does it work, Jeff? Can you kind of explain how you do reclaim water and what is the process like? Can you explain that?
Sure. So we're going to take reclaimed water that's currently used for turf irrigation around
right,
town.
Right.
That water goes through ultrafiltration membranes,
uh-huh.
then a reverse osmosis process.
Uh-huh.
Those two remove most of the minerals and viruses and any particulates and bacteria from the water.
So it's really clean.
Correct. And then we run it through an advanced oxidation process, which involves UV light with peroxide. That further breaks down pharmaceutical-type compounds and another pathogen barrier.
Mm-hmm.
Then we run it through granulated activated carbon to absorb those organic pollutants. So the water is ultra-pure. It's cleaner than bottled water.
Hmm. And the state that regulates this, the state of Arizona, are they then reconsidering whether or not they will allow this?
You bet. So we work very closely with Arizona Department of Environmental Quality.
Okay.
And they've endorsed our project from the early stages.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the process of revising the reclaimed water rules.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a sponsor and a partner on our project.
Where is it being used right now? California reclaimed
yeah,
water is
correct.
Turning into drinking water?
California yeah. and Texas, largely because of the drought in
mm-hmm.
recent years. And just this past week in San Diego, they had a similar public relations event where their potable reuse treatment facility will go online in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And so the mayor of San Diego partnered with Stone Brewing in mm-hmm. Escondido, and they made beer batches, I think two barrels made from potable reuse water.
Hey, we can have a competition, Jeff. We can see who has a better beer, Arizona or the San Diego County.
That's exactly the premise of our project. So we have the Pure Brew Challenge. So
yeah.
our goal is to get 32 statewide brewers to brew beer
mm-hmm.
with the water we produce in their town and bring it back in September for the Water Reuse Conference in Phoenix. We're hosting the national conference, so we'll have folks from around the world and definitely throughout the United States at this conference. And so we've designed it around an NCAA tournament bracket, just like
wow.
the tournament going on now.
It'll be a Final Four. And
exactly.
Whoa, very cool. What about the grand prize? Where does that money go?
The prize money that we want is
yes,
to construct
the beer project. Yeah.
And so we want $250,000, and that takes
okay.
us around the state, helps us build this truck, and helps us do community outreach and public relations. At the actual competition in September, we have various sponsors who manufacture water purification equipment. They're donating analytical equipment and prizes to the brewers that they can use within their industry.
Mm-hmm. So this sounds like the truck is about ready to hit the road.
We're almost ready.
And we're about ready to hit the road. Jeff Previtt, thank you very much. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, coming up this afternoon, mic check with Mike Shaw. Ray Allen will be ably assisting Mike on that program. And then tomorrow we have Wake Up Tucson from 6 to 9, and then the Talking Culture show from 9 to 10. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, I'll be back with you 12:04 tomorrow. And we will have our guest, the mayor of Sahuarita, will be joining us. So that'll be Buckmaster on a Friday. Until then, on behalf of Ray Allen, I am Bill Buckmaster. Hope you have a great rest of the day, and we'll of course be watching to hope and pray the Wildcats advance on after tonight's game in San Diego. Have a great afternoon and evening.